When an Olympic runner leaps off the starting line to begin a marathon, he has more than a few grueling hours ahead. It's a test of sheer endurance over 26.2 miles, where strategy counts, but persistence and focus win the day. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from 2 Timothy 3, when Paul gives his young friend wise counsel on how to finish well. No matter where you are in this race called life, near the beginning or reaching the end, there's practical application for us all. Chuck titled today's message, God-breathed truth.
Let's take Paul's words as counsel from the Lord God to us personally. So let's ask the question and answer it four different times and fill in the blanks, if you will. How can I finish well? Four answers come to us from these four verses, and I want you to notice them one by one. We've given you an outline for you to follow. First of all, by continuing in what we have learned. Mark it down. Those who finish well do so because they don't forget what they have been taught. Reliable, trustworthy, accurate information, nor do they fail to form their own bone-deep convictions. We continue in the things we have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom we have learned them. So let's fill in the blank. Number one, we continue in the things we have learned by going back to our original parents and grandparents and family teaching. We go back to our original parents and grandparents and family teaching. Our earliest impressions are our most long-standing truths. We can trace them back, I certainly can in my life, to our original homes. And I would say next, from our teachers and mentors and close friends. We stay with what we have learned by remembering what our teachers taught us, what our mentors modeled before us, and this is true for Timothy. In his own life, he could remember back to the things he saw in Paul's life. We can only imagine what went on those years that they traveled together. The hard places that they came to. The criticism and attacks that came against Paul, and Timothy must have watched in the shadows or in the wings, watching Paul as he stood firm. Here's another one. By gleaning wisdom through our own faith. See the end of verse 15? These things are able to give you the wisdom which leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word concerning Christ. Suddenly, something snaps, and you go, that's for me. It just changes you. That's part of the wisdom that comes through faith which is in Christ. Now, how can I finish well? Let's keep going here. By placing value on what God revealed. Now, I'm about to get into verse 16, which is the single most significant verse in all the New Testament regarding the Scriptures. So I want your undivided attention. We're going to analyze the verse because it's so significant, and I spend time on it because it is the watershed issue of faith. What you believe about the Bible has everything to do with how you live your life based on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look closely. Look closely. How can I finish well? By placing value on what God revealed. To begin with, by trusting its supernatural origin. By trusting its supernatural origin. We're going to dig deeply here, so get your thinking caps on. All Scripture, it's the same thought as the sacred writings in verse 15. All of the sacred writings, all Scripture, is theopneustos. Theo, T-H-E-O, is God. Neustos is from the word pneuma, which is air, wind. This is God pneuma, God breathed. Stay with me. All scripture is God-breathed. Now put that on hold for a moment and listen closely. When it comes to the Bible, there are three great doctrines. You may want to turn your sheet over and write them down. Three great doctrines you'll need to know about. Number one is revelation. All three are supernatural. Revelation is God's giving his truth to humans supernaturally. He reveals it. That's why it's called revelation. God reveals his truth. That happened in a period of about 1,500 years. God revealed his truth. Revelation was received. The next is inspiration. That is, individuals received and recorded his truth without error. Revelation is God's giving his truth supernaturally. Inspiration is individuals writing and recording the truth supernaturally. And third is illumination. That's the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, whereby he takes the truth and makes us aware of what it means and how it applies. In other words, the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in giving us understanding of the sacred writings. Now stay with this. Revelation is over. God is no longer supernaturally revealing his word. Don't let anybody tell you that they heard this from God and it's over and above what scripture says. God's not doing that. His word is complete. Inspiration is over. It's complete. Shakespeare was inspired when he wrote his poetry, not inspired like the Bible. Mendelssohn was inspired when he wrote his music, not inspired like the Bible. This is a supernatural inspiration in that it is God-breathed. Okay? The origin of Scripture, that is, where it comes from, is from God as he breathes out his word. You can rely on your Bible. There are a few places where the translation isn't done well or isn't accurate, but in the original text, the Bible was originally inspired and miraculously kept without error. It God-breathed. God's word is God-breathed truth. Supernaturally, God superintended the transfer of his mind, his thoughts, into human writers so that they composed and recorded his word without error. Sometimes they knew what they were writing, sometimes they didn't. The last word of 2 Peter 1 tells us that they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That means they operated out of their own power. It's the word used for a ship that's lost its rudder. It's at the mercy of the swells and the waves of the sea. That's the way the writers of Scripture were. They were moved along as God breathed his word to them. Okay? Why do I take so much time and go to such tedious trouble? Because it is the watershed issue of faith. Every generation must stand firm anew on its position on inspiration. Every new generation of believers must stand firm on where we are regarding the supernatural receiving and recording of God's word. We don't worship the Bible, we worship the God of the Bible. But the print on the page leads us to an understanding of our God. If it is inaccurate, then our understanding of God is inaccurate. If the truths that are given here are not truth but are falsehood, then our understanding of life is false. So this is the launching pad into living, into faith, if you will, into preaching, into teaching. Now the second thing I want to say about verse 16 is the purpose. We understand that its spiritual purpose is fourfold. Look at the verse. All scripture is profitable. Look at the list. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. First of all, God's word teaches. Didaskalia is the basic word for teaching. It's the crucial ingredient for growth toward maturity. You have no teaching, you will never become mature. Simple as that. If you are not taught in a school or by parents in home training or some way, you remain ignorant in life. You can't write, you cannot read. You must be taught so that you can use the tools in an intelligent way. God's Word gives you the tools for life. Your growth will remain stunted if you are in a church that entertains you but doesn't teach you. If your children are only playing Red Rover through Sunday school, those children are not growing spiritually. If they are being taught the scriptures, they are beginning their process of finishing well. They're learning the truth of the scriptures. The Bible teaches us what air is to our brains, what nutrition is to our bodies. The truth of the scriptures is to life. So the Bible comes to teach us. It also reproves us. The Bible convinces us by rebuking us, revealing areas that others may not see or we may prefer to ignore. It is a critic of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, Hebrews 4, verse 12. It looks into the heart and cuts where no surgeon's scalpel can ever reach. A surgeon can never go home in the evening and say, "Today I did surgery on her soul." You can't do surgery on a soul. Only the Bible can do that. As the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and drills it into your life and shows you areas that you wouldn't want to admit even to your closest friend. That's why we often feel convicted by it. I know I do, frequently. So the Bible reproves us, but it doesn't leave us to wallow in our wrong. Look at the next word. It corrects us. This is the only time in the New Testament the original word is used that's translated correction. I like the New Living Translation. It straightens us out. It straightens us out. Why? Because we're crooked. It cleans us up. Why? Because we're dirty. It shows us righteousness. Why? Because we're depraved. We aren't born right with God. We're born wrong with God. And the gospel, the good news that comes out of the Bible, reveals the death of Christ and his resurrection that can free me from the sin that has controlled me all my life. And the Bible reveals all of that. And therefore, it trains me in righteousness. See how it ends? Training us in righteousness. It covers what I would call the disciplines of spiritual formation. It enables us to cultivate a mind that knows God, a heart that loves God, and a will that obeys God. All of that in this book. All of that from this book. You know, now you know why I hammer away at it. Now you know why I spend my time in it. You know why now I urge you to read it. I had a lady stop me right after the first service this morning, and she said with tears, "I want you to know I'm reading through the Bible this year, and I am that far from being through it." She couldn't finish her sentence. Her husband standing there had his arm around her, and she said, "I cannot tell you what it's meant to me." She said, "I'm changed." She just read it. If I could just get people to read the Bible as a starting point, you would never be the same. Your worries would fly away. Your self-preoccupation would depart. Most of your conflicts would end. If you just let the truth of the scriptures come in, teach you, reprove you, correct you, and train you in righteousness. And it's good this applies to any age. It applies to a teenager. It applies to somebody turning 90 today. It applies to the single and the married, to the divorcee, or to the multiple divorcee. It applies to teenagers. It applies to the retired. It applies to the broken, to the weary. No other book on earth addresses the heart and the will and the life of people like the Bible. No other book on earth is alive and active and continually sharper than a double-edged sword. You tuck a verse of the Bible in a bottle, you pop a cork on it, you toss that bottle in the middle of the ocean, and it finally finds its way to the shore of some island. When you pull out the cork and you lift out that verse of scripture, it is alive, it is active, and it is enough to bring conviction to the heart, if it may be a gospel message or a message of hope to the one who is in anguish. The Bible is alive and active and sharp. No other book on earth is like that. You can read Shakespeare till you're blue in the face. Won't take you long. But you can read it until you're blue in the face, and you'll never have your life transformed. You read the Bible and apply it, and you will not remain the same. Which brings us to the fourth. How can I finish well? By allowing the truth to change my life. See the verse 17, so that the man could be the woman, the people of God may be adequate. That's an unhappy rendering, I think, of the word. Becoming mature means allowing the scriptures to fit into each part of our lives. You become mature, you are in the process of becoming mature when you allow the scriptures to fit into each part of your life. This says adequate. I think it might be better rendered that the man or woman of God may be fitted. I think the old rendering handled it like that. In fact, see the word equipped for every good work. Being equipped includes having all we need to accomplish all God expects. That's what that means. Being equipped is having all we need to accomplish all that God expects. You need strength to go on, you need the Bible. You need to face some challenges this week, you need the Bible. You're telling me your heart is breaking, you need the Bible. You're not sure what to do, you need the Bible. You feel distant, lost, and away from God, you need the Bible. Fearful, confused, uneasy about what the new week may bring, you need the Bible. You've been abandoned, forgotten, cast aside. You need the Bible. It will thoroughly fit you for every good work. And I guarantee you this, you will finish well. Mature and equipped, you will have what you need regardless of your financial status, marital status, age, or physical condition. You will have what you need to finish well. How good is that? How good is that? Never doubt it. That the man or woman of God may be well fitted, perfectly equipped. Some of you are thinking, well, I think you can kind of go overboard in this, Chuck. Well, most of you are a long ways from going overboard in this. Truth be told. Listen to one man's life. He was a theologian. He was a Frenchman. He lived in the 16th century and died at age 55. His name is John Calvin. On Sunday, he took always the New Testament and taught it, except for a few psalms on Sunday afternoons. During the week, it was always the Old Testament. He took 5 years to complete the book of Acts. He preached 46 sermons on Thessalonians, 186 sermons on Corinthians, 86 on the pastoral letters, 43 on Galatians, 48 on Ephesians. He spent 5 years on the harmony of the Gospels, and that was just Sunday work. During the weekdays in those 5 years, he preached 159 sermons on Job. You rascals. What did I preach? 42 and you thought you were martyrs. 159 on Job. 200 on Deuteronomy, 353 on Isaiah, 123 on Genesis, and he was still preaching when he died. Is it any wonder he led the French Reformation? Any wonder that he worked alongside Luther and Zwingli and Savonarola, those great minds like the Reformers? Why? Because he believed and taught and loved the Bible. That's how you finish well. There's no magic here. You can't just sit next to it and it's going to rub off. I mean, that's like saying I'd spend all week in a garage and I'll be like a car. You're not going to be like a car because you're in a garage all week long, and it's not by osmosis. You put those words in your mind by reading them, poring over them, making a study of them, memorizing them, meditating on them. It is remarkable what it will do to your maturity, to your age, to your temperament, to your attitude. Well, who knows? Some of you might become easy to live with. Some of you are getting pretty crotchety, by the way, so that's another subject. I guarantee you, you do what you've been told today, you will finish well. Let's bow together. I don't know where you are in this journey, but I know some of you have never met the Lord. I know a group this size cannot be filled with only believers. If you're one of those who is distant from God and you've never been able to figure out why everybody's all excited about the Bible or why people spend this much time going to church and dealing with spiritual things, well, now you know. You've been on the outside. Like trying to fly without wings. Or trying to sing without having a sense of music. You got to have help inside. That's why Christ died, to give you help. If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard of him today, and you must know that that song that was played earlier by our orchestra is a true song. It had to do with the cross. At the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the complete penalty for our sins. And as a result, he is able to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it isn't automatic because you sit through a church service. It's a decision that must be made by each individual. And you do that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll change your whole direction. And when you die, he'll take you to his heaven. I guarantee it. He promises that. What in the world are you waiting for? Trust him today. If we can help you in the journey, that's why we're here. That's why we're here. Father, thank you for the name of Jesus. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Even angels prostrate fall. We worship you, our God, today, and we love you in Christ, and we praise you for your written word that lives and abides forever. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. Keep us in it. Help us to live it, to model it even better than we read it, and turn our lives around so that we not only live well, but finish well. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living and another message in Chuck Swindoll's verse-by-verse study through 2 Timothy, titled God-Breathed Truth. To purchase the CDs or find downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org/store and look for the series Paul's Swan Song. Chuck, in this New Testament letter, Paul pulls back the curtain and gives Timothy a glimpse of our culture in the last days. Perhaps it goes without saying, but Paul's description of the end times sounds like a review of today's generation.
Well, it's true, Dave. Paul wrote, in essence, Timothy, in the last days, people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred, no self-control. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Paul paints a dark picture that sounds strangely familiar, doesn't he? His warning reinforces the reality that we are truly living in the last days right now. Well, this prophetic snapshot of our times is what compels us to turn up the volume on Insight for Living. Our days are short, and our mission to fill the dark places with God's light has never been more urgent or more important. For this reason, I'm appealing for your partnership today. Now, as a valued listener, you should know that our financial reserves at Insight for Living Ministries are nearly depleted. Yet we refuse to let this temporary deficit become a discouraging factor or a barrier in presenting the power of the gospel every day on this program. So I'm saying to you, let's band together so that none of our ministry efforts need to be curtailed. If everyone gives something, God will use each gift, large or small, to close the gap. John wrote it this way, "But these are written that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name." John 20:31. In these last days, we want to reach every country on the globe with the powerful, life-giving message of the gospel. Please join with us. In doing so, respond now. Your gift will make all the difference.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And here's how to respond right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org. And let me add, when you give a donation today, we'll be pleased to send you the brand new edition of the Gospel of John with Psalms and Proverbs from the Swindoll Study Bible. With a bold blue leather-like cover, this includes many of Chuck's sermon notes, insights for practical application, and even a daily reading plan. This special offer expires soon, so be sure to request a copy today when you give a donation. Again, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or write Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. That's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. Online, go to insight.org. Listen Friday when Chuck Swindoll continues our study in 2 Timothy called Paul's Swan Song, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, God Breathed Truth, was copyrighted in 2009 and 2015, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.